God. All right, you guys can open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 2:14. This is actually part three, and every time I kind of create a message, God chops it in half and then adds a whole nother one. So I ditched my message that I was planning on doing today and wrote a whole new one because God wants to talk about something today. But my series is about hosting the presence of the Lord. So you're like, hosting, what does that mean? Honoring, carrying, releasing him wherever you go. And so we are a spirit-filled church. What does that mean? We believe everything in the Bible is for today. So if it happened in the New Testament, it can still happen today. So this is part three of my series. My first one was dwelling. Let's see, my second one was releasing, and part three is shining out, shining out. So now I build meticulously on each service. So if you could go back online, check it on our website or on our social media and listen and catch up, because it'll all make sense then. How do I say this? All right. So how many people know someone who suffers from perpetual stink face? Anyone know someone, perpetual stink face? Yeah. I can't say too many details. I have one in my family, and honestly, God is transforming them. So it's like, it's actually really changing. And, you know, it's that person you actually try to go out of your way to not sit beside, and you can't really tell why, but you just don't want to, because it's just something here. You know, you'll play musical chairs at a holiday event or a work party to just not have to sit beside them for the meal. You ever know they pop beside you and you're like, great, I don't know why, I just feel like, I just need to move, just need to move. And you know, if their cubicle gets moved next to you, remember back in the day when you worked from like a workplace before you worked from home, and their cubicle got moved, you would actually literally consider transferring departments. Has anyone transferred a department because someone with perpetual stink face, you had to work beside them all the time, and it just kind of radiated the stink? I am a youth pastor, so just run with it, because you're never going to forget my message. What Pastor Sherry talk about? Stink face, okay? It's called shining out is my message. So if you've ever stood beside someone, it actually has made you wonder with a stink face. You're like, is it me? Are they mad at me? Did I do something wrong? You know, did I forget to send the email? Come on, raise your hand if you've been like searching, like, I messed up. Okay, right? It makes you feel like you're walking on eggshells around them. Makes you uncomfortable. It actually makes you want to get away from them. Truly. So stink face, and I'm saying, like I said, you'll never forget my message. Stink face. Doesn't just affect you, it actually affects the people around you, because it overshadows the people around you. Remember we talked last week, my profound moment for all you theologians was last week on Peter's shadow. And if you want to go back and read that, it's in Acts chapter 5. But this is the profound concept we left out on. And it says, basically, your shadow, whatever overshadows you will overshadow the people around you, right? Like a negative cloud. Your shadow will always release whatever overshadows you. We're talking about the presence that we carry. And how do we know? We permanently carry the Holy Spirit inside of us. The moment you asked Jesus to come into your life as Lord and Savior, said, Jesus, I believe you died for me. And you rose from the grave and I give my life to you. That moment, Holy Spirit came inside you. But we often kind of forget that He's inside us. We're carriers, right? Which is what this whole series is about. And I wanted to actually talk about how you flow into words of knowledge, words of wisdom, prophetic words. What I heard about healing today and what Liz had heard, I want to talk about that. So you got to come next week. But God said this. He said, unless you do with this, your countenance, and this is not a cheese ball smile, because you can't fake your countenance. It'll always leak through. Did you know you can't fake peace? You can put a cheese ball smile and everybody's like, it just doesn't work. It doesn't. But I'm talking about your countenance, which is what you reflect of what Holy Spirit's doing in you, out of you. It's the presence you carry. So the question we left out on last week was, what presence are you carrying into the room? Are we releasing the presence of Holy Spirit in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Michael talked about the different gifts we operate in. Into our family, into our church, into the schools, into the workplace, the community. And how about this one, the customer service line. How many people have been their worst self, like repented to God after standing in line? Yes, customer service, okay? And you think you're a nice person and you think you're saying it nicely, but guess what your face is screaming? Self-righteous judgment and criticism for messing up my order. I'm being really nice, I'm smiling, but you know what? You're radiating is not the presence of Holy Spirit. And if at the end of your customer service talk you invite them to church, they will probably never go to church. Truly. No, that was funny. I was like looking at this, and I'm kind of a joyful person, but let me tell you, I'm going to throw myself under the bus for like the first half this message of every time Pastor Sherry has radiated stink face in unknown ways. They knew, but I didn't know what it was reading. Anyway, okay, I'm going to go into this one. Okay, so what are we radiating? What presence are we bringing? What are we reflecting out of our countenance? Impatience, frustration, miserable exhaustion, self-righteous judgment, criticism, stress, fear, anxiety, depression, even anger. We carry a presence with us, or we're going to talk about how to take time. By the way, did everybody say take time? You have to take time to reconnect with Holy Spirit in you. You don't put a cheese ball smile on, bless God, I'm doing great. That's going to do damage in the kingdom. But I'm going to talk about how to reconnect so you can get your countenance overflowing, radiating with the Lord. So the fruits of the Spirit are, everybody throw it out, pop quiz. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control. One that I reek terrible is patience. So bad. And what I realize is like when I'm impatient, my countenance might be smiling, but I am radiating self-righteous, get out of my way. I can't believe you're running late. You're holding me up. Anyway, we'll talk about this later. So I'm working on it. All right. So 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thanks be to God who in Christ Jesus always leads us in triumphant procession. Through us, everybody say through us, spreads, okay, this pleasing fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. The New Living Translation calls it sweet perfume. We are called to carry, emit, radiate the sweet perfume presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what we're called to do. Like Peter's shadow, we talked about it last week. Go back and listen to it. It was a really good challenge for myself even. We are called to release the presence of the Holy Spirit and bring healing and bring freedom and bring peace wherever we go to the people around us. But honestly, you can't do that if you are justifying and harboring stink face. And I've epically failed in releasing stink face. So, okay, so my people know this one. All right, it's called, my leaders call it, okay, AKA otherwise known as Pastor Sherry's late night dodgeball face. Yes, yes, we know this one well. And it's actually probably my, like worst moment. So I've got, normally by the time we do dodgeball, it's like midweek, maybe towards the end. And it's like the late night event because God really moved in our service. That was so great. And now the kids are real riled up. We got to feed them and just run out all their energy so they sleep. So we jam 200 people in a room and like just sling dodgeballs at each other until like we pass out. So at 5.5 hours of sleep, and I've solved all the world's problems and dramas and ridiculousness all day long. I am tired, exhausted, and all I'm thinking about in that moment is how I get my 50 girls back in the bunkhouse as fast as possible and get them showered and clean and in bed and asleep, knowing that I, as the light sleeper, no matter how much, like two sound machines, I sleep with two sound machines right now. Kid you not, I'm married. I have two sound machines. Yes, okay. He's actually ministering at a retreat right now. Great. All right, I got two sound machines, light sleeper. No matter if I take melatonin, sleep mask, doesn't matter at camp. It is not going to drown out all the giggles. Oh my gosh, there's so sounds, I can't. Oh my God. Oh, you like sound so? Oh my gosh, I like sound. And girls snore too. So that is what I'm thinking about during late night dodgeball. Not about the amazing things that God did in the service before. Not about how the incredible relationships that are going on there as they sling dodgeballs at each other. I am kind of stuck in my moment, it's intense stink face. And it got to the point where I had my leaders hold me accountable. So I would literally, I think Nevin took a picture and like sent it to me. And that's a good friend. Honestly, listen, your leaders, your friends, your family should hold you accountable if you are radiating something other than Holy Spirit. And so I had to work on it because in that moment of impatience and irritability, I am flooding the atmosphere around me with negativity. And I'm also a leader in a place of influence, and I am now influencing all the people sitting around me to think about what I'm thinking about and the attitude shift. Yes, this is called confession of sin, because if I talk about this and I don't throw myself under the bus, you're going to be thinking I'm telling you how to like figure out your life. I'm just saying we're going to figure it out together, okay? Solution-oriented. So this is a no judgment. Everybody say no judgment. no judgment zone, because I'm going to throw myself under the bus, okay? I am working on it daily. All right, so I will also admit this other thing of Pastor D and I, but I'm going to focus on me. It's this thing we have called event face. Anybody ever suffered from event face? It could be a holiday event. It could be, you know, the work party, the picnic. Maybe you're like in charge of your, you know, doing the prom court thing at the local school. And in that moment, everything goes wrong. Everybody's blowing up your phone. Before every event, I had cornmates last night, and I even delegated who was in charge of it, and my phone's still blowing up. Of all the people that are running late, yes, 75% of my cornmates, 23 adults, 75% of them showed up an hour late. And guess what? I passed the test this year. In that moment, I was like, it's good. It's good. I'm eating some Wendy's. I need some Wendy's double bacon cheeseburger. Everything is going to be just fine. We're going to be great. All right, so I passed it, but in times past, lowest of moment, like seething irritation. It was bad. It was bad. I won't even go into it. All right, so this event face that maybe leaders admit in this moment is not a smile, because we might put on the fake, it's a mask, of like a smile, and it's like a grimace of like, I kill your destiny. And then when you tell me you forgot your thing that you promised you're bringing because we're all waiting for you to bring that thing so we can all do the rest of our jobs. And then my face smile, it's okay. And what is that smile? It's like a self-righteous judgment. Okay. All right. So this is not the expression on your face. This is the countenance. What I'm talking about is the condition of your heart. And don't worry. I'm going to tell you how to tap in and take time. Because by the way, if you're a business owner, if you are a leader in a local, let's see, the parent-teacher association. If you work in the school, like we got school workers, we have teachers. If you, work in a customer service line. If you're in a customer service line, welcome to the holidays during a pandemic. You will be in a customer service line. And you will have every opportunity to use this message to learn how to reconnect with Holy Spirit. Stir that up and let him change your countenance, okay? This is not masking cheese ball stuff. All right. So, Matthew 5, 14 through 15. Everybody turn there. I want to say this, you know, in our event face, like trunk or treat, I remember one time we had like chocolate, hot chocolate. Someone did not follow their directions. They probably are listening online and know who they are, but that's okay. We love you. Did not follow the directions. And like there is hot chocolate like sprayed all over the office. It was just beyond a mess, okay? And like I said, the countenance sometimes at trunk or treat, when we are supposed to be an outreach, a light to our community. And, you know, when your countenance is not shining, Holy Spirit, it cancels out the ministry that you are supposed to be doing. In fact, actually, it ruins it. It ruins it. So it's like I work really, really hard for these brownies, and I put a little poop in it. Do you still want my brownies? No, that's disgusting. I don't care what your fake smile is saying. Like, but I worked really hard for these brownies to minister love to you. No, okay. So you think you're being a light, but if you don't get the attitude of your heart right, people think you're doing it out of obligation, and it just cancels out all your good works. Okay, throwing ourselves under the bus, aka me. Got it. All right, working on it. So Matthew 5, 14 through 15, it says, you are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then hides it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, the English Standard Version says this, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We have to take time when everything hits the fan and goes wrong, even if it's everyone else's fault, because that's really not a good place to be, right? I think for Christians, self-righteousness, judgment, and criticism is the greatest destroyer of Christianity today. It is why people don't want to go to churches. But I'm right, and the Bible is right, and you are wrong. That's not how Jesus operated at all. Not at all. It's not who he is. So in these moments when things go wrong, you have to reconnect with Holy Spirit inside you and go, Holy Spirit, whew, who are you to me right now? I am your strengthener. I am your comfort. I am your guide. How do you see them right now? I'm head over heels in love with them. Jesus died for them. Can you love them as much as I love them? Remember last week? Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They're doing their best. Every day, we're doing our best. This is what attracts people to Jesus like a moth to the flame. Intense love. Intense peace in the midst of a crazy storm. We know this during a pandemic. It was crazy fear, anxiety, intense depression. And if you could hold on to your peace as the sure and steadfast anchor of our soul in Christ Jesus, you became a light to your family, to your community, and to your workplace. What do you think we're going to do? So I've definitely allowed Satan to steal opportunities to minister. Where you can put like weeks and hours into maybe a Bible study and something goes wrong or a bunch of people run late and you're just irritated or, you know, something happened at work, your car broke down and you were called to minister on the worship team or be a greeter and you putting on a fake cheese ball smile is not going to help anyone. It won't. It'll actually do damage because we can see past the mask. The condition of your heart will always leak through the forced expression on your face. But what we do have to do is take couple minutes. You might have to tell the person you're serving might have to tell your mother-in-law as you're scrambling through Thanksgiving, I just need to use the restroom for 5 minutes. And I need to reconnect with Holy Spirit. We just need to talk this out. I need to release this. I need to confess sin of judgment. I need to confess sin of criticism. I need to release this anger right now and give it all to God. And okay, Holy Spirit, how do you see that person? Holy Spirit, what do you want to do through me? What do you want to do in them? Being done at me, through me, according to your word. All right, 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9. Each time the Lord said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So when Satan steals an opportunity for you to shine, number one, just let it go. Don't get stuck beating yourself up because that beating yourself up, self-condemnation isn't going to help anyway. But the next time the opportunity comes and things go wrong and you have the worst week ever and people are yelling at you and it's not even your fault, welcome to leadership. Leadership is really good at disappointing people. I'm going to repeat it again. Do you know what being a leader is? I stole this quote from this guy named Will Hart. And I was like, yes, it's so true. Leadership is a title that you carry to serve people, to lay down your life as a servant leader, okay? But you just get really good at disappointing people. You just do your best, and you just don't meet everybody's expectations, okay? So the next time someone needs you to do something that you don't have the internal strength to do, maybe you got screamed at by your boss for someone else's mistake, and it just blew this account, and you guys just lost $10,000. And you're on the firing block for this one. And you come home and you see your neighbor mowing his lawn, probably down to the dirt, because he just doesn't want to go inside because there's something going on in their house. And you know what it is. You know? Maybe their son and daughter relapsed and, you know, I just gotta focus on doing something. I can change my lawn, but I can't fix my family. You can just tell on their countenance. And you go, I had the worst day at work. Like, I might lose my job. I have nothing extra. I am on not even zero. I'm at -1,000. And you go, Holy Spirit, in my weakest of moments, oh, it's got to be all you because I got none of me to give. And you just tap in. You know what? Sit in your car for a minute. Just a minute. Take time. And just adjust your heart and go, Holy Spirit, I got nothing. I have no encouragement for them. I have no word. Holy Spirit, I receive your peace. I receive your peace. You got me. This whole situation at work, I give it to you. Holy Spirit, how do you see that person? Show me how I can encourage them and love them. And just open up your mouth and start talking and he'll fill it. And don't make it weird. You can just literally, like, and touching is kind of a weird thing right now. You can just say, hey man, I'm just going to pray for you right now in this moment. You can put your hand on their shoulder. It's okay. But if we let the, I got nothing, I don't want to talk to anyone, I'm feeling some sort of way, we will miss an opportunity, right? So recently I've been having more and more opportunities. I won't even go into it, I've talked about it, but I'm in an interesting transition in my life of which I was epically bombing for 6 months, obsessing about a wedding and getting all that stuff done, spending time with God, but not really saturating in his presence. And I was missing God a lot, missing a lot of opportunities, of which I am now fighting distractions. I blow it a lot, but I am really fighting the distractions and I'm getting into his presence more. 50% every time he pulls me in. Okay, I was like, okay, I'm getting there more. And I'm getting more and more opportunities, and I'm passing the test better. And not allowing my wheels to get stuck in the emotions of the mood swing and the disappointment, the betrayal, the abandonment. And I'm not going to get my wheels stuck and spinning, cycling. I am going to just give this to you, Lord. I'm going to spend some time giving it to him. By the way, this is what we need to kind of adjust some things in this faith camp, okay? Spend some time. And then don't get stuck in the mud. So this weekend, I got tested. So we are under, Brad and I are under the gun to find a house. So his house is sold, praise God. We're moving up from Maryland, so that hour and 8 minute commute is, we're getting through it, okay? And we're trying to find a house. And everybody know in this market, I don't even talk about how stressful that can be, especially with the concept of newlyweds moving in with your mother-in-law very temporarily, like a week, a week. It's going to be fine. So we're under the gun, okay? Yeah. How many people had to move in with your parents? Like, you know, maybe it's a family and you got kids. Yes, we get it. Okay. So we're trying to get a house. And so we thought we found the perfect house. It was just absolutely beautiful. And we just went into it wanting it so bad. Like, this is our house. You know, we're just excited. And I knew how bad I wanted it that I, like, texted a lot of people to pray for me so I wouldn't make an emotional decision, because that's what crazy people do. Well, the only thing that separates you from crazy people is not making an emotional decision, especially women. Women, look at me. We get crazy. It's these hormones. Just, like, husbands are like, I know, she gets a little crazy, like, a lot. Okay. Don't make decisions when you're emotional. Okay, so I had people praying for us. So we walk in, and I'm walking through it. I'm so excited. And then some things didn't line up with the pictures and just didn't quite match some things that, like, were implied in a description. And it's okay. And I started to get a little mad, and then I had to let it go because I need to make a Holy Spirit-led decision. You did what? I'm not even going to talk about it. It's okay. I blessed the homeowners later. I, like, prayed for them. I was like, I can't believe you did that to your house. Okay. And anyway, Brad and I were prepared to make an offer, and a really good offer. And we were just so excited. In fact, kind of holding on to, like, moving things into storage, going, we're going to get this house. And how many people have ever had your heart set on something and so excited and think this is a God thing and just. I was crushed. My heart was just crushed. And Brad and I both left just not only disappointed, but confused. And I have, like, a ministry pack weekend. We had a big youth event and all kinds of stuff. Young adults event. And I had to make a decision to release that, but I had to take some time to do it. So, by the way, Brad rushed an hour and a half from Frederick, Maryland, where he works, rushed up here to get there at 1:30 in the afternoon. And had to drive all the way back down. So let me tell you, you know, this can test you a little bit. And I, on my drive, started praying. And I started blessing those who I could blame for the disappointment. I can't believe you did that to your house and you didn't say that. And you didn't, like, what, the picture, what, you know, okay. I really sincerely did. It's like, Lord, I just blessed this person, that person. Yeah, I won't go into it. And it was fine. It was just a really brief thing. And then I just started pulling my heart up, and I went, Lord, all right, that means you got better. You got better. Whether it doesn't have to mean look better. It might be better neighbors. By the way, how many know you can have a beautiful house and the worst neighbors, okay? People move for that, okay? So, Lord, you have a wonderful home for us with great neighbors that we're going to be a light to, and we're going to have friends in that neighborhood. You know, I know the Clark family has incredible neighbors, like just really great Christian neighbors that encourage each other. How many people have some incredible neighbors? If you didn't live in that neighborhood, you wouldn't have those kind of friends. I was like, okay, so I just had to build myself up in the Holy Spirit. I prayed in the Holy Spirit, put on some worship music, and I prayed. And guess what? Satan only got 10 minutes of my life. Yeah. The old me probably not only ruined your day, but ruined your weekend. Working on it. All right. So, okay, we're going to go. We have all the time in the world. Praise God. Maybe today you're suffering from stink face. Okay, so Pastor Sherry threw herself under the bus. And, you know, people ask you how you're doing, and you're like, fine, good. Sitting there in worship. You You know, you're saying you're fine. You're lying. And by the way, I don't do lying at this church. I'm a faith confession. That's lying, okay? You got to be honest with people. We'll talk about that. But your countenance is so low, it needs to be scraped off the floor. And, you know, what happened? I don't know. Life got really hard that week. So you didn't get the job bid. I didn't get the house. The lawnmower is broken again. Your wife and the neighbor reminded you about the lawn that looks like a jungle. Thank you. Thank you. Your ex sent a series of really ugly, nasty text messages all night long. Great. Woke up to that one. You're grumpy. You're tired. Your baby is teething. You did not sleep. Your spouse did not sleep. No one slept in the house. And the dog left you a beautiful little gift on the way to the minivan. And you drag that one. Just get that off your shoe. Okay, cool. And with that came a bit of a mood swing, which triggered a fight. And there is no amount of coffee in the world that can offset the fight you just had on the car on the way to church. How many people's families besides mine always fighting on the way to church? Okay, it's just Satan just trying to, okay. So the sticky, stinky circumstances all over your face. All over your face. And we are sitting here with resting stink face. And we do not feel like worshiping. And your face is silently screaming to the people around you, I don't feel like connecting with you. Don't talk to me. Please don't give me one more problem because my face is maxed. I got no time for you. I'm totally like guilty of this one where I'm juggling a billion different things and like I have someone walk into the office and I have a billion different things going on and I have counseling appointment, this and that, and I have not enough time and I got a husband now, so like when I go on the weekend, that's like family time. God first, then my marriage, okay? Everybody got that? God first, then my marriage. Ministry kind of comes after that, okay? So I was like, I got a time crunch and someone comes in and they just want to chat and just talk about life. And I'm like, yay, I'm so glad to see you. I was like, I text someone, we're working on it. We're going, okay, all right. So like I said, Pastor Sherry's going to throw herself under the bus a little lot. So we don't feel like worshiping in that moment. Or just checking your phone now. There's old people watching. Phone. Yeah, okay. Almost done. Oh my gosh, they went an extra 15 minutes longer today. Are you kidding me? I'm so hungry. God, I love you. I just don't feel like worshiping. Okay. But worship is the fastest way to pull your countenance up and reconnect with his heart for you. And not only encourage yourself, but, well, it encourages other people around you. It just does. You ever get swept up with someone else? Like, they just, like, had just this, like, moment of just freedom and joy, and it just reminded you to get out of your head because there is an opportunity going on to give every burden to the Lord. And remember, he saved you from hell. This is as close to hell as you're ever going to get in life. How many people are in the middle of it right now? Okay, this is as close to hell as you're ever going to get in life. He saved you. And just remember in that moment. So the Bible shows us how to reconnect and host the Holy Spirit and shine out. To tap into that overflowing grace, God's divine empowerment. Fill up in the presence of the Lord, recharge your batteries, and light up the dark world around you. So Numbers, so there's this revelation to me, because like I said, there were some extreme teachings in that I grew up with that caused some extremes that damaged me. Where I wasn't allowed to be honest when I was having a bad day. And it was like sin to just have honesty on your face. So that's not the case. Remember, I said, just don't get stuck here. What is this message about? Don't get stuck there. And take time. So I'm going to teach us the right way of doing it. Honesty, okay? Did I miss that? I don't know. I don't miss it. We're going to go into it with David, okay. So Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. And this is the Irish blessing prayer. It'll sound really familiar. There's a famous song going through right now that uses a lot of these lyrics, but I want to highlight this. So it says this, Numbers chapter 6, 24 through 26. It says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Everybody say gracious. We're going to talk about what grace is. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I read this thing three times, and then all of a sudden the Lord goes, look what's happening. My countenance, the presence and power that I bring, shines upon us and gives us peace. Your countenance, the presence that you carry of the Holy Spirit, is transferable. You hear me on this one? Listen, this is deep thought. If the countenance of the Lord can get so big and so powerful that we spend time in his presence, when I spend time in his word, Jesus is the word made flesh. You might have to read the same scripture for an hour until like you, the steam finally just simmers down and the anger lifts. Have you ever tried to read your Bible when you're angry? I remember Brad and I had this fight. It was dumb too, by the way. I like total emotional moment. It was dumb. I don't even have time to talk about it. And I was like, I just made it all about me. And I was just in this raging girl emotional. And like, I just got really quiet in the car. I'm fine. I'm good. So we got back to his house and I just need to read my Bible. He's like, let me, okay? I'm fine. I just need to read my Bible. I am not fine. Finally said, I'm not doing good right now. I'm really angry and I have no words to express it right now. And I don't want to say something hurtful. So I read my Bible for 20 minutes. Couldn't read anything. It was just a blur. Just a blur. Blur of emotions. But then finally, after reading and reading, finally, something, that's what I need to hear from the Lord. And then he gave me the words to say something honestly and not hurt at that point my boyfriend. I was honest. And then we worked it out, and we could move forward. So I needed to reconnect with the Lord, so my anger didn't hurt someone. We needed to be honest and communicate and find a solution. All right, where are we at? Okay, so the power of the Holy Spirit, remember, we receive, when we spend time in the face of God, his presence, in his word, in worship, the face of God, his presence. That means not just like going hanging in the back wall at church. That means getting up close and personal, thinking about the words on the screen. Saying your own words. Whew. Peace rises up. Do you know what the tangible presence of God is for a lot of people? I wasn't a big tingly person growing up. I didn't feel God. Honestly, it's like not a feeling thing for me most of the time. It was the absence of anxiety, insecurity, and depression. All of a sudden, I wasn't anxious. All of a sudden, I felt comfortable in my own skin. That shaky feeling you used to get when you walked into a room, that voice would always kind of beat you up because I wasn't good enough, you're not good enough. All of a sudden, that was silent, and I had peace. I was in the presence of God, and darkness had to flee. Whew, peace rises up. And when we tap in, Holy Spirit's inside you permanently, right? No matter what you do, no matter how dumb we are, no matter stupid things we say, he ain't going to leave us. But I reconnect with who he is. It lifts our countenance. Our countenance is not the fake smile on your face. It is the condition of your heart. Condition of your heart when you reconnect with fellowship with the Lord. And peace and love and even joy when you're just. We got a big bill at the church and I won't go into it, but I laughed. And it wasn't the, like, weird Pentecostal, ha, 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 you know, how can I laugh? No, it wasn't that. I just bubbled up laughter, and I went, oh, okay. Never knows this. I was just, came in his office, and like, oh, we got this big bill. Ah, all right, God's going to provide. I just started laughing. It was not something I had to force. It was spending time with God, and I went, oh, okay, God's going to have to really show himself strong in here. I'm going to be in faith for that. Got you? The abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks, but you got to stay connected. Okay. All right. So what is grace? Grace is God's divine empowerment that floods out when we are the weakest, right? When in our weakest of moments, we can tap into the power of God, his grace. So I don't have time to teach it. Zechariah 12 verse 10 says, I will pour out a spirit of grace, Holy Spirit of grace. Okay. Hebrews 10:29, the Holy Spirit of grace, Amplified Bible says he imparts grace. So what is grace? Grace is the character and nature of God freely received in our heart and reflected in our life. Hear me? We spend time in the presence of God. He never left you. He's inside you, but I got to spend time talking to him. I got to spend time releasing some of these burdens. Grace is God's divine empowerment. What is it? I have like literally a three-part series on it, but follow me. It is the character and nature of God freely received in our lives and reflected, freely received in your heart and reflected out of your life. When you can shine out despite your circumstances, it allows you to do what you can't do in your own strength. It allows you to come home after the worst day at work and overflow and minister to your spouse that had just as bad of a day at work, but they're struggling to reconnect. And you, men, as a spiritual head of your home, are going to go, my wife needs me right now. I got nothing to give. I'm on empty. God has called me the spiritual head of my home. All right, Lord, how do you see my wife right now? Okay, I need to remind her how you see her. And what starts happening when we start reflecting the grace when we don't have anything to give? He starts flowing through us, and what happens? We get that transformation in the process. Because when you carry and release something inside you, you kind of get the natural peace that comes with it. I need to wrap this up. We got to, okay, let me think here. Oh, worship team, I don't know. We're going to figure this out. Don't get on stage yet, but Holy Spirit, I just thank you. You show me what I need to say right now. Thank you, Lord. We're going to just blow through some pages here. Thank you, Lord. So I want to say this. Once again, it's not a fake it till you make it thing. You fake it till you make it. You put the cheese ball smile on. It's weird. It's religiously creepy. It's like a Christian clown mask. Clowns don't mean what it was before. Like if you're like thinking of dressing up like a clown, it scares kids. Like there's this movie. Don't look it. Don't watch it. But it basically has ruined the clown face. And that's what it kind of feels like when you put a mask on saying, I'm good. Blessed down, glory together. Shake and run an hour. And you're like, it's so cheesy. It's just creepy. It's creepy. And it actually makes people want to get away from you. Do you hear me? You can't mask your countenance. It's canned Christian cheese. And I remember when I went to Bible school, it was kind of like the standard that you just always had to have like a fake smile on in class. And I remember having a terrible day and sitting down beside this person. I can still see her. And she goes, well, you look like you're, yeah, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, honestly, I'm having like a really terrible day. And she goes, you can't say that. Who are you? Blah, blah, blah. And like corrected me for not being in faith for my life. And like, just like, I was so mad. I got up and moved. I was so mad, seething, saying things under my breath. You know, moved across the room, never sat beside her ever again. Because I felt judged and criticized. I was in a weak moment. I didn't need to be corrected for being honest. I needed some encouragement and love. I needed to say, hey, you know what? Can I pray for you? You know, what's going on? Like, you know, let me pray for that situation. We're going to give it to God. And instead, she self-righteously took it as an opportunity to correct me. Honesty is a good place to start, right? Always be honest. The problem is this, don't get stuck there and don't use it as an excuse to not reconnect with the Lord and connect with the people around you. Because I think sometimes we can let our perpetual mood swings be an excuse to just be lazy, because that's just who I am. That's just my personality. I am not a people person. I don't do your drama. I don't got time for this. Jesus always had time. He made time. Now, he didn't always have 4 hours. But along the way, wherever he was going, he stopped and he saw hurting people and overflowed and lives transformed. So like David had lots of mood swings. I love David. He is epically honest. I talked about it at youth, but like he gets so mad and he's like, I want to bash them against rocks. You know, like they all die and like murder and blood. Man, that's how I feel about them. And then he's like, okay, all right, but you God are bigger and you're greater. You can just see him just like rock starring out. He's like having a guitar solo in the middle of the field, angry and raging and just die all of you. And then he's like, you, God, are my peace, and you're my rock, and you're my fortress. And you can see himself reconnecting with the heart of God and God's purpose for his life and, like, seeing past the hell he's in towards the future he's called to. So Psalms 43, a lot of the Psalms are written by David. So, by the way, don't get stuck in the excuse of one of his mood swings. Keep reading it as a teaching moment to power past your mood swing and know who Jesus is and know how big God is and see him moving through your situation in faith. Psalms 43, verse 5. In the Amplified Bible, it says, why are you in despair, O my soul? Why are you restless and disturbed within me? I sense a lot of restlessness, frustration in the body of Christ. They feel blocked. They feel like they can't do what they're supposed to be doing. And okay. Depression, despair, I don't even need to talk about that. It's been an interesting 2 years. By the way, a lot of that restlessness and disturbedness is because, by the way, happiness is an inside job. Joy is an inside job. It is not dependent on the people around you. Do not look to your spouse to make you happy. That will really mess up your marriage. Seriously. That's where people start looking elsewhere outside their marriage for someone to make them happy and excited and something new. No, okay? Happiness is an inside job. That means two people need to spend time in the Lord and come together, okay? Why are you in despair, oh my soul? Why are you restless and disturbed within me? Hope in God. Wait expectantly for him. There is a time that you just need to wait in the presence of God and let it go and reconnect, and he'll give you vision of getting outside the hell you're in. Wait expectantly for him, for I will again praise him. What do you do in the waiting? I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus and remember how good and how big he is. There is a certain thankfulness. It is about investing thankfulness. It is about giving him credit in every opportunity. When someone cut you off and gave you the finger, but you didn't smash into them, and you go, instead of, and that was not prayer. You go, thank you, God, for keeping, I have kids in my car, and I didn't hit that car. Whew. You got to be really deep in the Holy Spirit to be able to do that. But how, every time you lost your keys and all of a sudden you find them, just give God credit. Give God credit for the small stuff. Honestly, you want to find a lifestyle Thanksgiving, give him credit for the small stuff. Every time you nail a new account, thank you, Jesus. And you don't have to like get it like, oh, you know, do like a crazy weird like, you know, Pentecostal thing, you know. No, just like, just immediately just thank him. Immediately thank you. You get a good deal on a sale, thank you, God. Start thanking him in every area of your life. It will actually keep you in this constant talking to him and thankfulness. It'll actually stir your heart up. I use this example all the time, but like, you ever text your one and only special someone throughout the day at work, although you're not supposed to? Yeah, I'm thinking of you, babe. Love you. Can't wait to see you. Make dinner tonight. Okay, I'm like newly married, so like, yeah, whatever. Just think about them all the time. And you let them know you're thinking about them. And you still feel really connected, even though you're not there. Maybe you don't even get to see them for a week. Maybe it's your best friend. Oh, you know, you text your best friend, funny jokes, whatever. That's how Holy Spirit wants to be in constant fellowship with you. I'm throwing out pages of notes so you get this thing. The Bible says to live constantly and habitually dependent on him, vitally connected to him. So David, let's go back to Psalms 43, 3 through 5. It says, send out your light and your truth. This is right before he says, I'm in a bad place. It said, send out your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them lead me to your holy mountain, to the place where you live. There I will go to the altar of God, to God, the source of all my joy. Happiness, joy is an inside job. Who's your source? I will praise you. Why am I discouraged? He's praising God, but acknowledging I feel like terrible on the inside right now. He is choosing to praise God. He feels, the word he used was despair. Despair is like so past depression. Everybody ever been in a season of like fighting despair? Makes you not want to live. Seriously, those were thoughts of death and suicide come in. And he's fighting this. He said, God, lead me, guide me. You light up a path before me. Lead me. God, help me just to find your face past this horrible situation I'm in, because you're the source of my joy. So he knows, I'm going to fight this despair. I'm going to fight past these circumstances because there is a source of joy. Guess what? Where is the Holy Spirit? In you. He didn't leave you just because life stinks right now. He didn't leave you even if you caused the problem that you're in. He is your source. And then he acknowledges, honestly, why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I put my hope in you, God, and I will praise you again, my Savior, my God. Thank you for saving me. I want to say this. I've talked to people really fighting depression, and I say you go back to the most foundational, you go back to the very first thing. Thank you for saving me. And then build from there. Build from there. God, thank you for my kids. I don't even if they're not serving you right now, maybe they're hurting me, but thank you for my children. And I know that you're doing a great work. And you began a great work in them, are going to bring it to completion. Thank you. It is about making a mindful decision in faith. So it is 12 o'clock. My husband just texted me because I'm going to go on a date with him. He is leading worship at a youth retreat. I want to say this. We're going to go press past all of our distraction. We're just going to worship him. I want you guys to give me, not me, give God 5 minutes. Because you can hear a great message, but unless you do it, it's just going to be another great message. And all you remember is Pastor Sherry talked about stink face, and I got it sometimes. So we're going to practice what we're preaching. So if the worship team can come forward, pick whatever songs in your head and your heart. And I want to hit this moment, and I want you to think about this. Whatever you're most aware of is revealed on your countenance. Your countenance is not just the expression on your face. It is the condition of your heart based on your fellowship, your connectedness with the Lord, and its reflection off your face, your countenance, okay? So if you live constantly conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit inside you and his power within you to bring the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, despite how hard it is, and I'm working on it, P.S., it will release him not only in your life, it'll change your countenance, but it'll actually shift what's going on in the people around you and will give you an opportunity to speak into their lives. And you won't clear the room. You hear me? The same degree that you preciously and jealously guard the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life is the same degree that the Holy Spirit's presence will overflow. Let me say that again. The same degree that you preciously and jealously guard, remember we talked in our first message about the jealous love of the Lord for you? You guard the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you guard holding on to that connection is the same degree that the Holy Spirit's presence will overflow out of your life and manifest through your life in power and grace and love, joy, peace, healing to transform the people around you. So what are you saying, Pastor Sherry? You need to jealously guard anything that tries to take the place of your vital love relationship with the Lord. Do you hear me? I fall into it just as much as anyone blew it this year. Jealously guard Holy Spirit as your source. What is hosting the Holy Spirit? Whew. I honor you. I honor your presence. I honor what you want to do in my life. I want to honor what you want to do in that person's life in the room. Now, let everybody just stand up, and we're just going to worship him. And I want to say this, the moment, just take up, you can do it in a minute even. Seriously. And just reconnect with his heart, who he is. Start thanking him. Start praising him. You can even thank him. You go, I'm in a terrible place right now, but look what someone else is going through and they had an overcoming victory and you don't love them more than you love me. If you did it for them, you're going to do it for me. You want to get out of the funk? Start celebrating what God is doing in someone else's life. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says to stir yourself up. It says in 1st and 2nd Timothy, it says, stir yourself up, fan the flames of your love. We had a bonfire last night, and it used to be roaring, raging love fire for the Lord. And you just weren't mindful, and you let it go. And it says, stir yourself up, and it says, you can have people pray for you and lay a hand beside you. It also says to sing praises to him, stir yourself up. Thank you, Jesus. Just sing your own song to him. Say it. It's actually, worship isn't a song. It's a condition of your heart. Turn your affection back to him. Turn your attention back to him. Start thanking him for the love. Thank you for your love, Jesus.
To be grateful, Lord, I give you praise with an open heart. I'm waking up to heaven.
Jesus, Jesus.
I'm waking up to you.
Say that again.
I choose this day to be grateful, Lord. I give you praise with an open heart. I'm waking up to heaven.
Oh, I'm waking up.
I'm waking up. waking up. I'm waking up to heaven.